Assembly Radio. You're listening to John Sprovieri, the chief editor of Assembly Magazine. And today, we're speaking with Jack McDougall, senior vice president for manufacturing at the Council on Competitiveness. Based in Washington, the Council is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to elevating U.S. productivity and leadership and raising the standard of living for all Americans. The Council's members include manufacturing executives, labor leaders, university presidents, and lab directors. In December, the Council published a landmark report called MAKE, an American Manufacturing Movement. The 88-page report provides dozens of recommendations for addressing the challenges facing U.S. manufacturing. I asked Jack how the Council developed its report.
We provide a strategic look at issues affecting long-term productivity and growing standard of living in the United States. So we don't get as bogged down in the day-to-day tactical issues moving through Washington and the country, but we look longer term and more horizontally across industries, across sectors, as well as our different constituencies. Over the past several years, a number of our members have been growing concern about manufacturing issues, and we hear a lot of different things in the press, but really, what is going on? Can you peel away some of the rhetoric a little bit and think in terms of what are we witnessing here as globalization expands, as manufacturing industries mature, and as things continuously change, can we develop a better understanding of those issues? And then what is the appropriate response for the United States to take on those issues? So our board of directors and members came up with the idea of a very long-term manufacturing initiative. And the first phase of that was to bring together leading experts around these various issues in a series of strategic dialogues. The idea being that let's move beyond what people know or what they think they know, and can we uncover new insights into these issues that would lead to better solutions. And last year, in 2011, our members around the country hosted 12 of these dialogues, ranging on everything from developing a world-class workforce, to advanced materials, to next-generation infrastructure, and a whole host of issues, trade, finance, and capital. We also conducted a series of one-on-one interviews with leaders in each area. So between the dialogues, those interviews, as well as some research and analysis that we did here within the council and with some of our members, we developed the MAKE report.
A refreshing aspect of the report is its nuanced assessment of the state of U.S. manufacturing. For example, many believe that China and other low-cost labor centers are solely to blame for the loss of U.S. manufacturing jobs. But according to McDougall, the picture is a little more complicated than that.
Overall labor costs in most manufacturing operations are 10% or less. So you don't often move your operations and all of your capital equipment and your plant property and take the risk of going somewhere else because you're going to squeeze 1% or 2%. There's lots of ways to go after 1% or 2%. And granted, a lot of manufacturing industries are in low margin, so margin cap, I don't want to diminish that fact, but that's a huge decision to make if you're just chasing low-cost wages. It's interesting because a lot of the political rhetoric, particularly here in Washington, it's still about everybody's chasing low-cost wages. Really aren't. And, you know, you can also make the argument that there are some companies that invest in the United States because they're going after low-cost wages. European companies are heavily investing in the United States because the United States offers tremendous advantages. When you look at investment flows, one of the things we pointed out is that we collectively have invested more in Ireland than we have in China. And I think that surprises a lot of people. Also, Europe continues to be the number one destination of U.S. investment. And a lot of our investment in China really has been about gaining a foothold in potentially one of the fastest and growing and largest markets in the world. So you need a presence there. The United States in 2010 was the number one destination for foreign direct investment in manufacturing firms. Now, a lot of it is transfer of ownership. There's quite a bit of that. But a lot of it is greenfield investment. Look at a lot of the auto companies, Volkswagen, Daimler, others. Companies want to be in the United States. And so I think the trick is, how do we recognize that, and how does government at best accelerate that process, and at worst not get in the way of it?
One of the report's top priorities is to dramatically reduce taxes on repatriated earnings. I asked Jack to explain the basis for that proposal.
So the way the law is right now is that U.S. companies that have operations in foreign markets, so affiliate sales, the profits from those affiliate sales are not taxed in the United States unless they're brought back here, and then they're taxed at the statutory corporate tax rate, which is roughly 35% in the United States. The U.S. is the only developed economy that has that type of a tax system. So Germany, Japan, and other advanced economies, they do not have that. So for example, Siemens, when they make a profit in the United States, they do pay U.S. taxes, but when they bring those profits back to Germany, they don't pay tax on it. Or they pay very, very low nominal 2 or 3% tax rate. And what's very interesting as well is that in 2010, U.S. affiliate sales were 3 times greater than U.S. exports. And so what you have this emerging relationship between global operations of U.S. companies and exports, because a lot of our exports are actually going to U.S. firms operating in other countries where they do the final assembly. A Caterpillar, for example, it's much more efficient to produce a bulldozer in India than it is here and ship it over there. They produce a lot of their advanced components here, and then they will ship those over for a final assembly. But our policies don't necessarily leverage and take advantage of that effective business model. By our estimates, in 2010, U.S. affiliate sales generated $1.4 trillion in profits globally. And most of that profit is just now sitting on corporate balance sheets with nowhere to go. So rather than say to companies, we're just going to tax that, why don't you say, if you bring it back to the United States, it won't get taxed. That would be as big a stimulus to the U.S. economy as you could imagine. You would then complement that by reducing the structural corporate tax codes, which in the United States, they're the second highest in the world, just behind Japan.
One surprising recommendation in the MAKE report is to cut deficit spending and reduce the national debt. I asked Jack about the connection between that and manufacturing.
That gets to the overall competitive environment in the United States. And if you look at what's happening in Europe, that as your government gets more and more debt burdened and the cost of borrowing goes up higher and higher, your ability to invest in infrastructure, your ability to invest in research and development, your ability to create a favorable tax environment becomes very stymied. And all of those factors combined make the landscape for manufacturing worse and worse. And so if we want to be the top race in the world to make something, then we have to have an environment that encourages investment, encourages research and development, has world-class infrastructure, and the longer we don't solve our debt problems, the harder it's going to be for us to implement those types of solutions.
Although the U.S. unemployment rate currently stands at 8.3%, many manufacturing jobs go unfilled simply because companies can't find qualified help. I asked Jack about the MAKE report's recommendations for improving the workforce.
We peaked out in manufacturing employment about 1979-1980, and we've been on a downward slope ever since. At the same time, productivity has improved dramatically, and so today U.S. workers are 10 times more productive than workers in China, which is a huge advantage, and so that takes away some of the cost differential as well, is that you can pay one worker in the U.S. a bit of a higher wage than in China. But in China, you need 10 people at lower wages to do the same amount of work. When a manufacturer is looking to ramp up very rapidly, they need 400 engineers, and if they can't get them here, but they can get them in South Korea, China, Brazil, or somewhere else, then that becomes a huge factor in where they locate their plant. We've got to make sure that we're producing the right kind of folks to get into these jobs. And that's been a challenge in the U.S. now for the past 20 years or more, is that we tend to place a significant amount of emphasis on a 4-year liberal arts education. We still are using data that would suggest that a 4-year college education over the lifetime of the graduate generates higher wages and higher earnings. We're not entirely convinced that's accurate. Today, a certified welder can earn $120,000, which is significantly higher than averages. There's a huge part of the population that the right track for them isn't going into a 4-year college education. And quite frankly, they don't need to enjoy a better standard of living. Manufacturing and trade or vocational or technical kind of work is not dumb, dirty, and dangerous the way it was 30 or 40 years ago. These guys are wearing khakis and polo shirts and lab coats, and they need to have a working understanding of calculus so that they can manage the tolerances and the machine tools that are creating these parts. Helping to get that kind of an image out there to attract people into those kinds of training programs, educational programs, and then going into careers is really important. One of the things that we talk about is companies having internship programs for teachers, not just students. In the summertime, get teachers in there to learn about a lot of the advanced technologies that are being deployed on the factory floor so that when they get back into the classroom, they can make this stuff alive and exciting for students.
That concludes this episode of Assembly Radio. you'd like to hear more about the Make Report, McDougall will be the keynote speaker at Tech Manufacturer Expo, a virtual trade show sponsored by Assembly Magazine. To learn more about this May 2nd event, log on to www.techmanufacturerexpo.com. To download a copy of the Make Report, visit www.compete.org.